Praise the Lord. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We praise you for another day, God. We thank you for your great grace that you have bestowed upon us, Lord. Thank you for life, health, and strength. Bless us in this time, God. Thank you for the praise and worship that's going up before you, God. The prayers of the righteous that's going up before you, God. Thank you for every family that's represented here on today. And God, we just ask you would touch our hearts and our minds. Oh, God, open up our words to your word to our hearts today. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Blessings and glory.
All right.
Honor. It all belongs to you, and I just want to thank you.
Yes.
I just want to praise you. I just want to bless your name, God, because you've been so good and so merciful to me on today. Amen. Is that anybody's testimony on today?
Amen.
That you just want to praise him?
Yes.
You just want to bless him? You just want to thank the Lord? Amen. Do we have anything to thank the Lord for? Amen. If I take off my shoes and count them 10 and count these 10, it still is not enough for me to count the blessings that God has bestowed upon me. And I am so grateful today. I am so grateful to the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's exciting to know that we're servants of the Most High God, that he met us at our point of need, saved our souls and made us whole.
Yes, he did.
Just like in the power hour lesson on this morning, they brought the man in, he crippled on his bed. And Jesus looks at him and say, your sins be forgiven. See, the lameness was the secondary issue. But the main issue was that he needed to know the Lord. Anybody know Jesus today? I just want to take a quick census. Amen. If you love the Lord today, why don't we just give God some praise? Amen. Let's put those hands together and magnify the Lord. Because what could have been, what should have been, God said not so. How many times have he stayed the hand of death? How many times have he healed our bodies? How many times have he made a way out of no way? I just want to praise him. I just want to thank you, Lord. Amen. I thank God for the prayers that went forth of me over this past week. I tell you, it was a kind of rough week, but the Lord, but God, he has raised us up one more time. And so we give God glory on today. In the midst of all the crazy stuff that's happening around us, God is still God. He is still the sovereign Lord. How many earthquakes have we heard in the last few days, you know, now Lord only knows the eclipse tomorrow. And none of this, thank you, sweetheart. And that's your song that was being sung earlier. Yeah, we're going to have to get that back going. Praise God. You know, but God is in control of everything. You mean if he holds the whole world in the palm of his hand, but he's concerned about little old me? From Muggy, Oklahoma. He's concerned about my needs. He knows what's in my heart and in my mind. Wow, what a mighty God. And I'm not being selfish. I know the same God is doing the same thing for you. He's blessing us. Sister Carolina, he knows who we are. He knows our heart's desires. And I thank God for that. I thank God that somebody prayed for me. Had me on their mind, and they took some time and prayed for me, and they didn't have a doubt that God would bring me out. So glad somebody prayed for me. That's why we pray today. That's why we pray for those who are in need. Amen. If we're praying for ourselves and those needs, we're praying, God, what we can't do, God, you can do.
Amen.
Once we've said all we can say and done all that we can do, God, we put them in your hand and know there's no better place to be than in the arms of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So y'all pray with me. Amen. I think I better go get this going for my voice go completely out. But we just come through Resurrection Sunday. You see the subject. Jesus, with an exclamation point. Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he was born and he loved, he died, and he rose again on the third day. And the question is, now what? See, now what? Thank God, you know. Sometimes there's always been a little comedy in the church about CME Christians. You know, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter, you know. But I thank God for the CME Christians. Because that's telling me there's something down inside of them that prompts them to head to the house of the Lord on those special days that God has created. So only thing that the CME Christian need now is, now what? Now that we recognize that Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem and the heavens was open and the angels was rejoicing, praise God, prophecies was going forth, now what? That he lived a perfect life in our place. He went about doing good. He went about healing and delivering and setting free and speaking words of peace and comfort to everyone that was in need. But now what? See. And then he died on an old rugged cross for the sins of, for your sins and for mine. Hung up for our hangups. Pierced in the side, slapped and spit upon and, yes, and crucified. And but he said, it is finished.
Hey, thank you.
He paid the price for sin. And we're recipients today because of his great love with which he loved us. And thank God that wasn't the end of the story. Took him down off the cross. Put him in a borrowed tomb, wrapped him up in grave clothes, rolled a big stone in front of the tomb to make sure that nobody would steal the body or something, that he wouldn't come out of there like he had already said. But early that Sunday morning, hey, we just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. We've gone through Good Friday. Now what? Because we recognize and we see and we understand and we have believed and it's for real that Jesus rose from the dead, declaring all power in his hand, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now what?
Yes.
Thank you, God. So Jesus, as he rose on that Sunday morning, he starts showing himself to the disciples. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was times where in John 20 where the disciples, now, the way I put it was, their life wasn't worth 10 cents because they were followers of Jesus, who the religious order wanted to crucify, and they did crucify. Even though Jesus had said, you don't take my life, I lay it down, but I have the power to take it up again. But he showed himself to the ladies, and he showed himself to those that was on the Emmaus Road and the disciples whose life wasn't worth 10 cents. They were locked up in the room in someone's house, the door locked, and they probably figured out, who's next? What are we gonna do? And Jesus walks right, he pops up right in the middle. Then the door was locked, that means the windows was locked. Nobody in there but the disciples. And then all of a sudden Jesus said, fear not. He walks in on them. And they begin to tell Thomas, hey, the Lord is risen. We've seen him. Mm-hmm. He said, No, y'all, I don't know what y'all been doing or what y'all on, but I know that he was crucified on that old rugged cross. And unless I can touch the nail prints in his hands and I can put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. See, Thomas may have been from Missouri, you know, the show me state. But here they are again in the locked place. And Thomas was with him this time. Here Jesus shows up. Nobody opened the door, no doorbell, no ring camera, no security at the door. Jesus manifests in his glorified body right in their midst. And again, he speaks a word to them, fear not. And it says, God knows our hearts and our minds. He knows our shortcomings. He knows our doubts. He knows our propensities. He knows all about us. So now he pops in the disciples, and Thomas is there, and he looks at Thomas. He say, "Did you say you?" Now Thomas haven't seen him, had been closed. In. All he knows is the word is out that Jesus has risen. But he had said, "Unless I touch the wound in his side, the nail prints in his hand, I'm not going to believe." And Jesus says, "Okay, Thomas, here it is." Nowhere in Scripture do we see that Thomas touched, but Thomas said, "Oh, my God, my Lord and my God. You are my Savior. You have risen from the dead. You just like you said, oh, I believe now." Jesus told him, "Blessed are those who haven't seen and believe." Thank you, God. And that is who we are today. I haven't seen Jesus with my natural eye. Oh, God. But then with my spiritual eyes, I've seen Jesus. Amen. In from the inside, I've walked with him and I've talked with him. And he's letting me know that I'm his own, that I belong to him. Thank you, Lord. Woo. Took me out of darkness. Bought me in the midst of the saints of God. Woo. Those who love Jesus. Oh, I've never been so free in my life till I came to know Jesus. Thought it was times when that jail door opened up. Oh, I'm free. Still bound, but when Jesus comes in, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." How many want to know truth today? See, there's so many lies going around, and so many people talking about your truth, and I got my truth. I said, "No, you don't. There's only one truth, and his name is Jesus." So as Jesus showed himself to all the folks, at the end of John chapter 20 and verse 30, it says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Now I'm telling you, we've read enough to hold us a lifetime. And we keep discovering more and more, Sister Dorothy. It's like, what? But he said, "But these are written." See, "these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Oh, I think that is a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for life in his name. Thank you, Lord. So here is the thing. This brings us to our scripture for today. John 21 and 1. Jesus was born, lived, loved, died, resurrected. Now what? Oh God. Do you ever feel an unction in your spirit that God has something for you to do? Have more for you to do? Or have you ever been in a place to where there's so much going on, there's so much happening, sometimes you just don't know what to do? Anybody ever been there? See? But see, I love this about the Lord. He never leaves us. I don't care how crazy my thinking get and get off track. God has said, "Hello." Whoop, 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 whoop. Gotta snap me back in line. And I begin to think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he has done for me. See, so in this passage, here's after the resurrection, after Jesus has shown himself so many times to others, and it's yet before he's caught up and ascended into heaven. After these things, verse 1 says, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Isn't it something that God shows himself to us again and again and again?
That's good.
He wants us to get it.
That's good.
And I always say he wants us to get it so we don't get it. Because we can get it if we don't get it, you know. Because we studied on Thursday night that God chastises those who he loved. See, and he has a way of chastising us. And sometimes it don't feel good. But after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. It's the same name as the Sea of Galilee. And in this way, he showed himself. Listen to this group that was that he's dealing with. Simon Peter, one disciple, Mr. One who couldn't hold his peace, who what come up comes out, impulsive, right? When they came to arrest Jesus, he pulled his sword and chopped off the soldier's ear. And Jesus said, hey, man, no, if you live by the sword, you die by it. He put it back on the man's head. And the same Peter who said, no, I'll never deny you. I don't care what these other brothers do, but you can count on me, Jesus. But when the heat got on, Jesus told him, man, before the rooster crow twice, you're going to deny me three times. And he even got to a point where he cursed. I tell y'all, I don't know him. He's trying to save his own neck. Hey, that was interesting. He's trying to save his own neck. Who else was there? Thomas. It said Thomas called the twin. If depending on what translation you look at, it says Didymus. It mean he was a twin. I don't know if his brother was a doubter or not, but Thomas was there. See, so now the one who said he would not believe, now he's in the crowd and he's believing, and now what's going on? So this is a ragtag group of folks here. With all due respect. And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee was there. Remember when Jesus began to call the disciples? And he told Nathan, yeah, I saw you when you was up under the fig tree. Yeah. He said, what? You are. Yeah, see, and he said, you must be the one we're looking for. You must be the Son of God. You must be the Messiah. He said, man, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I want to let the church know today, you haven't seen nothing yet. God has blessed you all your life, but you haven't seen nothing yet. Greater days ahead. In the name of Jesus. And then the sons of Zebedee. Here's another motley crew. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. John, the one whom Jesus loved. But, you know, they had questions like, well, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom now, it's just this one little thing we want to ask of you that me and my brother, one can sit on your left and the other one can sit on your right. And Jesus said, no, you don't even know what you're asking for. Can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink up, that cup of suffering, that cup of death? Oh, yeah. No, you can't. You see, talk is cheap, but money by land. And then there were two other disciples of his disciples were there together. Simon Peter, being the leader, being the outspoken one, being the one that folks is now following, Simon Peter said to them, okay, now mind you, all the things we've already said has happened. The dark day, the resurrection day, the rumors going out, Jesus popping in up out of nowhere. I mean, there's a lot going on. Peter, who's already, like we said, have denied the Lord. You know, he's on overload. He said, I'm going fishing. I'm done, right? I am done. And so he decides he's going back to what he's always known. But I want to let somebody know today, once you've been in touch with Jesus, once his hand have been upon your life, you can never go back to where you were before. He said, I'm going fishing. You know what? So I just need a break. I'm trying to get this stuff in my head. You know, Jesus, he's gone. Now he's back. I'm going fishing. I'm going back to what I used to do. He said, they said to him, we are going with you also. All of us who've been anointed and appointed, us who've been sent out two by two to go go preach the word and to cast out demons. Us who have seen Jesus raise the dead, you know, we're going fishing. We saw what happened to the woman with the issue of blood. We're going fishing. You know, I'm going to that safe place. Going to the cocoon. They said to him, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Hello. Now this probably should have been somewhere, Brother David, in their mind a reminder. It was another time that we was fishing. And we had caught nothing. And Jesus shows up and say, cast your net on the other side, on the right side, and let it down for a draw. Well, now, you know, but we get amnesia. Sometimes we forget what God has already done. He didn't heal me of something terrible, and now I stump my toe, and I'm like, oh, God, where you at? But I'm forgetting you already got rid of this thing. We need reminders. And so, yeah, I know they could get their head around it when they saw Jesus. Hey, fellas, it's me. Throw your net on the other side. Let it down for a draw. And you both, and it's, all these fish going to come at my command, and y'all go good to go. Well, here now, they dealing with the fact that Jesus now has rose from the dead, and they've seen him. So they say, we're going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, weeping may endure for a night. But joy comes in the morning. You know, God is telling us to hold on. Yes, you're suffering. Yes, your heart is broken. Yes, you have some challenges. Yes, there's things happening in your life that are not good. But he said, I want to let you know, for all things work together for good for them who love God and are called according to his purpose. When the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Woo. Hallelujah. Somebody said, he ain't dead no more. He's standing on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. I want to get to a point that I know that it's Jesus. In the midst of chaos, I want to know that Jesus is in the midst, that he's standing there, that he's holding me in his hand. He's carrying me by, me. Because sometimes when stuff gets tough, we don't get going. We just begin to succumb to the situation. But if I believe that he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, I need to believe that to the saving of my soul. God, I'm standing on your word. If I don't do nothing else, for God I'll live, for God I'll die. Swim, sink, or drown, I'm on the Lord's side. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, grown men, children, to me, my child. Yes. I'll say, yes, Daddy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? Right. See, Jesus never got into all kind of technical stuff. He always deal with the basic things. But what's basic seemingly is so deep. Children, have you any food? They say, no. And we ain't caught nothing. Do we know that God has a remedy for everything? Whatever our situation is, God has a remedy for it. He has a blessing for us in the name of Jesus. I think this is why Tyrone can't quit jumping around, because he didn't kind of figure it out that God is able to do anything. That he is the one who turned dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. He's the one that worked miracles and see the invisible and feel the intangible. He's the one. Thank you, God. I'm just using you. I know you, you know. But they answered him, no. And he, Jesus, said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat. You think it may have rung a bell somewhere? I don't know if it did or not. But here's the thing. He said, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. You mean the master of the sea. And you know, in my little mind, God knows just what kind of fish that need to go in the net. Since everything in the ocean and the rivers obey him, God is so loving and so kind, he didn't send no sharks. No octopus, no whales, no jaws. I'm sure that whatever was in the net was just what they needed to eat and to distribute. Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. I love this part right here. In the last verse we'll look at, we get ready to close out here, but I love this. The basic things of God we should never forget. For instance, humble yourselves before the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. Man should always pray and not faint. Have faith in God. Stand on the word of God. There's some basic things we need to remember. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Remember that Jesus said, behold, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you to myself. And so he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. So they, I love this part. So they cast. They did what Jesus said to do. Have you ever been in a place, I'll take a blindfolded pole here, where God has said, do this. And you said, no, I ain't. Hello. You don't know like I know what they've done to me. That don't seem to make sense. But we need to get to a point where we know the voice of the Lord. Like the old song the kids would sing, when he spoke, I recognized his voice. When he spoke, I made my choice, that man from Galilee. So they cast, and now get this, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. We going fishing. Yeah, you going fishing, but you'll never be the fisherman that you were in prior to 3.5 years ago. Because remember, Jesus said, come on, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to use you to build the kingdom of God. I'm going to use you to impart truths and grace and mercy to those who don't know me in the name of Jesus. So in the midst of all of this, yes, Jesus was born, lived, loved, died, crucified, rose on the third day. Now what? Now what are we going to do? Well, one thing he said is in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the called out ones. He's talking to the disciples. He said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, not beating them, not putting them in a headlock, you've been on go with Jesus. But teaching them. It takes patience to teach folks the ways of the Lord. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He said in Mark 16:17, see, now that you got the picture that I'm giving you to go and teach and preach and to make disciples, he said, here's some signs that's going to follow you. in my name you shall cast out demons. I don't care how holy you get, don't go try casting out no demons in your name. Don't go tell the devil, guess who I am? No. In the name of Jesus, see, they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. And that can go in so many different ways. Yes, he'll give us a new tongue, but he'll tame your tongue as well. Stuff you used to say, you don't say no more. Amen? I mean, when I learned it, I wasn't cussing no more. I'm like, what happened? I mean, I was so mad, I was... But God had took it from me. And I was like... Because I had asked God, take away the liquor. Take away this. Take away that. I didn't ask him, say, take the cussing away from me. But when he comes on the inside, everything changed. Oh, God. Let me wrap up here. You will take up serpents. That don't mean you're going to go around finding your nearest rattlesnake. And if you drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt you. You will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait on the pastor, or the assistant pastor, or the evangelist to show up. Where there's a need, the Holy Spirit manifests on the spot. And when he tells you to lay hands on your son, your daughter, lay hands on your brother, lay hands on your wife, go in the hospital and you visit a poor person that's in such a bad way, seek the Lord, cry out to him, and in the name of Jesus, God, your servant, touch him. Jesus. Touch her, God. I know you're able to do it. I know you're able to raise him up. And then, by all means, remember, not my will, but your will be done. What now? What now? Real quick, I'm closing. Colossians 3:12-15. Therefore, see, what is the therefore? Therefore, right? Because he has given us commission. And he's opened up the panoply of scripture and showed us who he is and what the future holds. Therefore, as the elect of God, chosen by God, woo, holy and beloved, that's who we are because of who he is. He said, put on something here. I call it, let's get dressed for church. Put on tender mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humility. Put on meekness. Put on long suffering. Bearing with one another. Hey, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. I forgive you. I release you. It's no longer a plague to me because I'm free in Jesus. Thank you, God. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to which we're all called to one body, and be ye thankful. So as the church, now what? Hey, we've embraced it. We understand. God moved us to a new place. Now what? He's put teachers and preachers in our midst, and musicians and singers, and now what? He's populating the church with new faces. Now what? Woo. Hallelujah. Living in great expectation. God, we just want to do your will. We just want to bless your name, God. We just want to see souls saved. We want to be a bright light in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. As an individual, now what? You've heard the word of God. You've heard mama praying for you and exhorting you. You've seen the lightning flash. You've heard the thunder roar. Now what, as an individual, when do you make up your mind, for this cause, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to surrender to him. As someone who has decided to follow Jesus for the first time, now what? Get close to the saints. Stay close to the church. Get into prayer meetings. Get into Bible study. Get into power. Come into the house of the Lord. Sit down and learn from the saints of God. God has shown you that he's trustworthy. What now? Listen, we're living in times Things are failing all around us. Crazy stuff is happening. Christ is soon to come back. Let's be about our Father's business. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Why don't we stand? Praise the Lord.